Now, the recent heat wave has underlined the importance of projects around the world aimed at curbing climate change. Ireland is playing a role in one such project. Two young bison, reared in Fota Wildlife Park in Cork, have been released into woodlands in Kent. You might have seen that on the news. It is hoped that the release of Europe's biggest land mammals onto the landscape will make it more resilient to global warming, allowing hardier and more drought and disease-resistant species to grow. It is also expected to help with the biodiversity crisis, as outlined by Cora Kunzman, wilding evidence ecologist with Kent Wildlife Trust.
What we're hoping for is to increase the structural diversity. So through, again, the unique behaviour of the bison, they're hopefully going to create more layers in the woodland. They're going to create more open areas. So we'll have more sunlight come to the woodland floor. We'll have more native species that are going to seed, that are going to grow. So we'll introduce more structure into the woodland, which is going to create more habitats for species, more shelter, more food. So through all of those things and through increasing the invertebrate abundance, we're just hoping for more of everything.
Exciting stuff, but is it likely to work? And could we see bison roaming the Irish countryside in the near future? Later, we'll be joined by Sean McKeown, director of Fota Wildlife Park in Cork. But right now, we're going to say hello to Evan Bowen-Jones. Evan is chief executive at the Kent Wildlife Trust. Hello, Evan. How are you today? I'm guessing pretty excited. Are you close to the bison now as we speak?
Hugely excited, yeah. So I'm sitting in the middle of Kent in a place called Cranbrook at the moment, which is about, I guess, 20 miles away from the site where we released bison on Monday.
And can you describe the habitat that you've placed the bison in?
Yeah, the site itself is a huge block of woodland that stretches around Canterbury. Most people have never heard of it, but it is actually about 12 square kilometres of woodland. So it's one of the biggest sort of semi-natural woodlands in the whole of England. And we, Kent Wildlife Trust, own two big blocks of that. And the bison were released into the first block, which is a total of about 1,000 hectares. And they've gone into a proportion of that as a kind of soft release area, and then we aim to get them out over as much of that as possible over time.
Is there a perimeter fence to keep the bison in and keep people out?
Yeah, there's actually both. I mean, the one of the challenges with this project, and the reason it's kind of so much of a kind of pathfinder, is because the legislation in England at the moment makes it pretty difficult to do this. So bison are classified as dangerous wild animals under the DWA, as we call it, Act, which a lot of people think has been in need of reform for quite a long time, because it also includes things like red deer, which, of course, you know, if you go to Richmond Park in London and loads of places in the Highlands, for example, you'll see loads of red deer. And there's people, you know, walking across areas with red deer. But theoretically, in law, you can't have unrestricted public access over an area where you've got a legally classified dangerous wild animal. So because we're obviously wanting to do things by the book, because this is such an important pilot, we have got an enormous amount of fencing. We've got the fencing for the bison themselves, which is actually just a standard stock fence, and that's all they need. And then we've got, beyond that, about 2 meters away from that, we've got a 6 foot high fence to actually keep people from crossing the bison fence. And one of the things we want to prove is that is really unnecessary, and we want to get the bison removed from the DWA list.
Yeah, they're not known for attacking people, are they, really?
No, they're pretty laid back beasts. I mean, if you look at the moment on the web, sort of viral videos of people being butted by bison in Yellowstone Park, it's where people have tried to get a selfie with a bison and literally kind of put their arms around the neck of a bull bison, which is a pretty daft thing to do, and you'd probably get that kind of reaction from a domestic cow. Otherwise, they are extremely shy. They will run away from you. They'll keep their distance. And we've been into enclosures in Holland where they've been using bison in this type of project for ages, and they've never had issues.
Now, can you tell me how you think the bison are going to help restore natural habitats by just being present and also helping the fight against global warming?
So really, I mean, bison are, they're really big animals, as you know. They weigh the best part of a ton. We don't have anything else that's that big in terms of native animals left. And they, together with the wild pigs, which are also going to be in Blean Woods, which are kind of mimicking boars, and the wild horses that we're going to have in there as well, that whole assemblage of herbivores, they will be doing the job of basically sort of creating that dynamism. So the bison themselves, they roll around, they create sort of sand pits, which, you know, lots of, say, invertebrates can take advantage of, so burrowing wasps and bees and things like that. They rub up against trees, and just their bulk means that those trees are kind of, and shrubs are knocked about and have to kind of regrow in different ways. They actually ring bark trees sometimes because they eat a lot of woody vegetation. And we've seen in Wildwood Park, and I'm sure it would be the same in photo as well, that they'll actually selectively kill certain trees, so you end up with standing deadwood, which again is good for wood boring insects and things. Their fur provides nesting material for birds. Their dung again kind of provides more food for other types of insects, and all of that of course then means that your insectivorous birds and other creatures benefit from that presence of that ecosystem engineer species. So it really creates structure in the woodland that we've never had before. So that kind of complexity of structure, complexity in the food web, and it just gives the broader biodiversity a boost. So we think actually the abundance of life, not just the kind of number of species that is going to benefit, but the overall abundance of life in that woodland will be increased substantially.
Evan, I would be very surprised if bison were aggressive in any way. I remember being in Bielowice in Poland, the source of the revival of bison, and trekking for an entire day with a guide, and only at the very end of the day did we manage to find some. And that's where the largest number of bison are living in the wild now anywhere. Yes, it took that long. They are elusive, interesting characters. But that herd is derived from a very small number of animals. One Hermann Göring, whom we should mention, was instrumental in protecting them because he wanted that area reserved as a hunting lodge for after the war for himself. But anyway, put that aside. When you came to select animals for your reintroduction, you must have concentrated on the stud books of the various females and so forth. How did you locate the most diverse individuals? You're starting something that is going to go on in perpetuity, and it is most important that you have as genetically diverse as you can, but the options aren't great.
You're quite right. And this is where partnering with not only FOTA, but Wildwood Trust, who actually are located right on the edge of the Blean, is really important. We couldn't have done it without working with these other groups. And of course, as you say, they have been for years working within the European breeding programme for the bison, which is an endangered species in itself. Because as you mentioned there, at one stage, they actually went completely extinct in the wild. So all of the bison that we're working with effectively do come from zoo stock at one time or another. But they're very successful in becoming kind of really wild animals again, as you noted there, in Poland and now in the Carpathian Mountains. As I said before, in some of the projects in Holland, you can see they're properly wild animals. They'll keep their distance, stay away from you. But that point you made about genetics is critical. So we have the two females that have come from Ireland. We've got the matriarch actually comes from Scotland, Scottish collection. And we are waiting for a bull who's going to come in from Germany. And they've been selected very deliberately to get the maximum genetic diversity into our initial herd. And we do think over time we will probably need to bring in other animals as hopefully that herd grows. And hopefully we then export some of those animals back out into the breeding program and out into new projects, which hopefully will be doing more of the same thing in other parts of the UK.
Well, how many would you envisage having when you reach saturation, shall we say? How many bison can your two woods sustain?
We don't really know, because the thing is, all of these habitats, these areas are very, very different. So we've been to sites in just across the other side of the channel in Holland, where they're managing bison are managing sand dunes. In Holland, they've also got the managing kind of grassland woodland mixes. As you say, there are other areas which are kind of pure woodland. And all of these habitats have different carrying capacities of bison. So given that our habitat is actually going to change over time because of both the presence of the bison and the other animals and climate change, we kind of just need to see what happens. Our current license, because as I mentioned, the whole thing is kind of licensed under the Dangerous Wild Animals Act, is for a maximum of 20 within the area that they are currently going out into. But as I said, it's part of this huge complex of woodlands which stretches for 12 square kilometres, and the rest of that woodland is actually owned by other major conservation organisations with whom we're now sitting down and talking to about potentially sort of having a core bison area that runs across that entire landscape in time. And of course that will then mean we could have substantially more animals out in the wild than just that initial sort of 20 or so.
Well, Evan, it's a fascinating project and we wish you all the very best of luck with it. Who knows, in time we'll come over and visit you and have a look at the bison with your permission.
We'll look forward to seeing you here. Yeah, look forward to it.
Me too. Now, I believe we can talk to Sean McKeown, who's director of Photo Wildlife Park in Cork. They've had great success breeding bison, hence the reason they're able to give them out as part of this project to increase the numbers of bison right across Europe. As Evan has mentioned, these are an endangered species. Sean, when did you first get your bison?
Well, we started getting bison in the late 90s. First three animals from Sweden and then two more from Germany, from Stuttgart Zoo. We've had about over 50 births. And as the programme developed, and it's a breeding programme that's coordinated through the European Association of Zoos and Aquaria, it's for bison within Europe and some zoos outside of Europe. And the idea was to start breeding enough so that they could start reintroduction of the European bison back to the wild. So that was started. We sent our first bison out of Fota back to the wild in Poland into the Belowice forest. And that was a male and two females. Since then, we've sent animals to Romania for a release program in the southern Carpathian Mountains in Romania. Some five or six to northern Spain. And then these last two females then that went to Kent in the UK. So we have another female here that is supposed to go to Azerbaijan to a reintroduction program there, and that will leave here to Germany, to Berlin Zoo, and would be joined there by other females from other zoos in Europe, and then they'll all be shipped together out to Azerbaijan. So that's supposed to happen in around the middle of September this year.
And the possibility of them ever roaming across the Irish countryside in the future, what do you think?
I think it could be one of the aspects that would happen when you have a lot of the peatlands restored and when you have a lot of birch and willow growing, that you use the bison to control the woodland, because they will open up patches of it, make it open to sunlight, and you'll have more diversity in plant life then. It's a matter for, not for me, but for the authorities to decide that. But there will be opportunities like that arising in Ireland in the future.
So, Sean, you must be delighted to see that your bison are now going to be roaming the English countryside.
Yeah, I would. Personally, I'd love it was in the Irish countryside, but it is fantastic to see that. I actually got to see the animals in Romania, and that was fantastic. That was really inspiring and a real jerker on the emotions. And they were roaming around in the snow. But the animals themselves were doing very well. That was 4 years after the release. I think there were about 12 animals released, but in that time they'd grown to about 33 or 4 animals. And in that same area they had bears, wolves, and lynx as predators, so they'd survived, and the cows were doing quite well. So it was great to see them back in the wild and roaming free in the natural habitat, and sort of running up the side of a mountain when they saw us. So it was spectacular, and particularly in the snow, because when we saw them, their whole backs and things were covered in snow. They had fantastic coats. The snow was staying on the animal, not melting, because they were so well insulated by the coat.
Well, Sean, congratulations to you and your team at FOTA, and let's hope that these bison released into Kent will be as successful as the ones in Romania. Sean McKeown, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
That's pretty much all we have time for today. My thanks to Aineen Ilana, Richard Collins, Niall Hatch and Terry Flanagan. Our broadcast coordinator is Jarlath Holland and our researcher is John Bell O'Reilly. Don't forget that special programme about James Lovelock tomorrow night right here on RT Radio 1 from 10 p.m. Visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/mini. Until tomorrow, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye.